Down to Business on News Talk.
Sponsored by Flowgas. Talk to us today for electricity that will power your business wherever you are.
Now, Stefan Gorelli was the Managing Director of the World Economic Forum and the annual Davos meeting for over 13 years. He also founded the World Competitiveness Centre. He's a world authority on competitiveness and he's in Dublin this week to speak to a Deloitte Forum of Irish businesses. Good afternoon to you, Stefan.
Good
How
afternoon.
Are you?
Fine, thanks.
Now, first of all, Stefan, we better start off with the definition. Competitiveness, you define it as the ability of a nation, company or individual to manage a totality of competencies to attain prosperity. Is prosperity the important word here?
Yes, you're right. I mean, you made it very well. The other important word is that it is a totality of competence. It is not only one thing.
Yeah.
You cannot be as a country competitive, for example, if only you have low labor cost or low taxation. You need to have many things. Low labor cost if you want, or you can be very competitive if you have high labor cost. But you need also to have innovation, a good education system, a stable administration. So actually, you manage a totality of competencies. This is what is really important.
Okay, so are you of the view then that there's no real secret to being competitive? It's not. It's a combination of five or six things in your view.
Yes, you're right, but there is perhaps more of it. It's a bit like when you do a salad, you know? When you do a salad, you try to take the best tomato, the best salad, the best olive, everything. And still, when you put all that in the bowl, you don't have a salad. To get a salad, you need to have also a dressing, right?
Absolutely.
And you may have noticed
to bind it all together.
Exactly. And you may have noticed that the dressing all have a national name. French dressing, Italian dressing, Russian dressing. And for me, the dressing is a value system.
Yeah.
It's a mindset. And if you want, what you have in the bowl is almost the same for everybody. We're all using the same salad. But actually, the mindset, the cultural issues, the cultural system, the values of a society are all different from one country to the others. And that's what makes a difference.
So the dressing is the secret sauce.
The dressing is a secret and the
now
mindset and the mindset is a secret of competitiveness.
Let me bring you back, Stefan, to kind of, I suppose, simple economics. Is it not?
Do you think it exists?
Well, in the sense that, do we not have a situation that, you know, as a nation begins to prosper, there's always some other economy that's able to produce whatever it is they yeah. produce cheaper. Is that not the way the world goes round?
You're absolutely correct. And I think that you are never competitive on the long term only on low cost.
Right.
Sooner or later, somebody will cut your cost down and will be producing cheaper.
Yeah.
And some countries are very competitive with high labor costs, such as mine, for example, Switzerland. Look at a watch. A Swiss watch is not exactly the cheapest thing in the world.
Yeah.
But still, people are competitive with this because they give something else than just a low-cost product. You can speak about the image, about the prestige, about whatever you want. It's not only about low cost, it's about something else. But on the long run, it's really about the added value.
Okay. I want to ask you about a couple of other things that relate to competitiveness. One is quantitative easing. If we talk about the world and all this money that's been, I suppose, let loose on various economies, the States, Europe, over the last decade.
Yes.
Where we've got a situation where that money is swishing around the place, but it's not going towards long-term capital projects. It's been used by estate agents and it's just, am I right in saying that?
You're absolutely correct. I think one of the problem is that, you know, whenever we have an economic crisis, everybody is pulling out of the drawers Keynes, saying, okay, Keynes said, you are going to print money. With the money you print, you are going to build something, possibly a dam. Then with the money the people will get as wages, they are going to go in a store, they will buy something and everything will work. We have done exactly the same thing. We have been printing a lot of money. But instead, this money went into bailing out governments and banks.
Yep.
And then it stayed in the financial system. It didn't go into the real economy. It didn't go into the shop. The proof is, with all the money that we have been printing, if it would have been going into the real economy, we would have inflation, not deflation.
Yeah. That's the bit I don't really get, that that there's been no real inflation almost in the last decade.
Nothing. It's simply because the money didn't go into the real economy. It stayed in the financial system. And that's why the stock exchange have been exploding. we have now more than 8 years of a bull era in the stock exchange, which started 8 years ago, therefore. And we are in a situation where the big challenge for us today is to get this money, which is in the financial system, out of the financial system into the real economy, into infrastructure, into investment, etc.
Yeah.
And that's what will make the difference.
Tell me about the analogy between inflation and a haircut. You and I are a little bit lacking in the hair department. Do you have an analogy around that?
Yes, I like to say, to define inflation as saying, you know, inflation is like when you had an haircut which used to cost $10. Now it's costing $20, but you don't have hair anymore.
Right. Okay, so let's go back then to competitiveness.
Yes.
And if we look at the various countries across Europe, who's doing a good job and who's the worst boy in the class?
In terms of competitiveness?
Yeah.
I think in general, what is interesting and which is good news for Ireland is that those who are doing very well in terms of competitiveness are generally smaller nations.
Right. Is that because they're more flexible?
More flexible. They are fast moving. They are resilient, etc. Perhaps they are easier to manage. There is one big exception is Germany. And even in Germany, it's not everybody who is competitive. Huh? If you take the eastern part of Germany, they are not very competitive. But basically, the winners are smaller nations. And I think that for a nation like Ireland, being a fox is really the name of the game.
Yeah. Right, okay. You've written as well, I was reading an article that you wrote, and my guest is Stefan Gorelli. He's an expert on, a world expert on competitiveness. You wrote an article, Stefan, about why you will probably live longer than most big companies. You tell us, and I think I've seen this stat before, but big companies used to have a lifespan of over 60 years in the 50s. It's now down to 18.
You're absolutely correct, which means that all of us, we live longer than a company.
Yeah.
That about 75% of the company we know today will have disappeared one way or the other in 2025.
Right.
Which is quite extraordinary.
If we look at those stats then, that means that, you know, there's going to be more mergers, more acquisitions, more bigger conglomerates.
Yes, and
as
actually,
they swallow up other ones.
You're right. And this is a consequence of the huge amount of money we have on the market because we have a lot of liquidities.
Yeah.
And the question is, what do companies do with these liquidities? So they can give dividends to shareholders.
Or buy some other
which generally
companies.
They don't like to do.
Yeah.
They can buy back their shares, which they like to do because it increases the value of the stock exchange. And finally, they go into M&A, mergers and acquisition. We have never seen so many mergers and acquisition as today. Keep in mind, M&A stands also for murder and assassination.
Yeah, I know. Particularly if you get it wrong.
Yes, exactly, exactly.
So then if I want to look at your future for a minute. If we say that the lifespan of companies is going to get shorter, there's going to be more and more conglomerates and bigger organizations. What do you think that's going to mean for the employee?
I think it means that for all of us, we are going to work in many companies, not only one. I think the time where we used to, or some of us used to work, you know, an entire life in one company is almost gone, simply because the company will be gone before us. And I think it means also that we have to develop a set of competencies and skills which are going to change over time.
Right.
Because we know perfectly well that what used to be the good skills 20 years ago are not the same one today which will ensure a job or which will ensure success. And I think this is very important, therefore, that we have this kind of training system which is going to stay all lifelong.
Yeah, yeah. Just going back then to competitiveness, Stefan, You commented earlier that you felt the Irish were doing a reasonable job. You're in town. You were speaking to some business people in Deloitte there earlier in the week. What's your own sense of the Irish marketplace and our degree of competitiveness?
I think that first, you are in a wonderful recovery. Very impressive. It's getting better. I have to be careful what I'm saying because I'm Swiss and neutral. But still, I would say that let's hope that Ireland has learned from the past and learned that, you know, those bubbles can be quite dangerous if you don't master them before. And, you know, we spoke before about the lack of inflation, you know, but you have inflation in consumer price, but you have also inflation in assets.
Yeah.
And I think Ireland was a very good example of inflation in asset prices, which was not very well mastered, perhaps.
Yeah.
And I think, I hope that those in leadership positions understand that, you know, you have to make sure that you don't recreate this kind of bubble anymore. The bubble in the real estate can be very dangerous for the financial market and then as a domino effect to the entire economy.
Okay. Finally, I have to ask you about your time as managing director of the World Economic Forum in Davos. You held that gig for 13 years. Tell me about that. It just sounds fascinating.
Very fascinating, very tiring.
Yeah, tough job.
Tough job, but quite extraordinary, because actually what it meant is to put together executives which usually cannot talk to each other, because if they do, they are in a kind of anti-competitive type of environment and people will say you cannot talk to each other. But what I think is nice is when people get together and they can exchange ideas freely without having at the end, it goes also for government leaders, without having at the end to make, I'm sorry, a press release.
Yeah.
Or to have a press conference which says, you know, you have been meeting, tell us more about it. I think Davos was, you know, you meet and you don't have an agenda. You meet and you don't have a press release at the end. So you can test new ideas, or you can tell somebody, what would you do if I do this?
But there's still an element of stage management, is there not, around Davos with the
various political leaders? Yes, of course.
Because that's what they do.
You have, I mean, the politicians like Davos because of the visibility. But I think also they like Davos because, as I said, they can meet. They can have dinner together, because in Switzerland, people are quite nice. They never disturb people. You know, you can be in the street. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. And then they can discuss very freely. They can. And a lot. You don't take decisions in Davos, but you prepare the decisions in Davos. And that makes a hell of a difference.
All right. Well, listen, it's been a true pleasure to meet you. Stefan Gorelli, folks, he's the former managing director of the World Economic Forum in Davos, and he's also a leading authority on competitiveness. Great to talk to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. A pleasure.
Great.